The grace of God overflows for us through Christ Jesus, who came into the world to save sinners. Trusting in God's grace, let us stand as we are able to confess our sin by praying together. Sighs too deep for words flow through our bodies, O Jesus. An unnamed weariness presses down on us. Most merciful God, we humbly admit that we need your help. We confess that we have wandered from your way. We have done wrong, and we have failed to do what is right. You alone can save us. Have mercy on us. Wipe out our sins and teach us to forgive others. Bring forth in us the fruit of the Spirit, that we may live as disciples of Christ. Let the power of your love flow deeply in and through us. O Lord of sighs and prayers, hear us as we silently confess the sins on our hearts. Amen. My friends, anyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old life has gone and a new life has begun. Know that you are forgiven and be at peace. And all of God's children said, Amen. You may be seated.
If you'd like to join me in the scripture reading, it will be in Matthew 11. 25 through 30, not what the bulletin says. So that's verses 25 through 30.
Jonathan, it is 16 to 19 and 25 to 30.
Oh, it is?
Yes, it is.
Okay, well, it's 16 to 19 and 25 through 30. But to what will I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to one another. We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We wailed, and you did not mourn. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is vindicated by their deeds. At that time, Jesus said, I thank you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because you have hidden these things from the wise and the intelligent and have revealed them to infants. Yes, Father, for such was your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone whom the Son chooses to reveal him. Come to me, all you that are weary and are carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light.
Thank you, Jonathan. This is on. You can hear me, right? Good. Shall we bow our heads for a moment of prayer? Lord, thank you for your word to us. Thank you for the guidance you give us each day of our lives. Now, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be found acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So, It is the day after the Midsummer's holiday, on which we wrap our country's heritage in red, white, and blue bunting. We spend the morning, well, we used to spend the morning, at the village parade. The afternoon would be picnicking with friends, and the evening would be at a concert listening to the John Philip Sousa marches that we all know and love before we get to watch the skies fill up with the brilliant flashes of light we call fireworks. And weren't they spectacular? At least in our memories, they're spectacular. This year has been different, hasn't it? I've not heard of any parades taking place, and as for fireworks lighting the skies, well, it really depends on where you live. This year, the best most of us will enjoy is a picnic with our extended family, perhaps, or some very close friends. Excuse me. This fourth will provide a different sort of memories, won't it? But they are memories nonetheless. Now, my favorite 4th of July was spent at a friend's house in Williams, Arizona, which is the gateway to the southern rim of the Grand Canyon. The parade they had featured a number of donkeys, and Indian fry bread was served at the picnic, and the fireworks were, well, anytime you can walk up to the announcer's stand and make a donation to the city's Parks and Rec Fund so that you can, in your own voice, over the loudspeaker system, dedicate a flashy boomer to your favorite friend, well, that is pretty cool. They even held burlap bag races and hoop shooting contests and other games to keep the kids busy and happy. And everyone went home tuckered out. Yeah, it was a very wonderful 4th of July in a wonderful little town. So, what were your favorite 4th of July games as a child? Hopscotch? Jump rope? Baseball? Maybe badminton? Maybe you and your pals would perform a circus for all the neighborhood. Or some of you probably played teacher with all the others acting out the roles of students, things they knew nothing about. It seems like in Jesus' day, kids played wedding reception with flutes to accompany the dancing. Perhaps they also played funeral procession, complete with mourners. They didn't really have schools or balls to bounce back then. All the same, the kids did play in the dusty villages and towns all along the Galilee. And like kids today, they got tired, and they probably whined at each other. You didn't dance when I said to. Well, you weren't a proper mourner for the funeral we had for the little bird. Yeah, kids. But adults can whine too. And rather than play games that emulate life, they sometimes turn their lives into games. He said, she said is a big one. And so is, you think that's a big deal? Well, you should just hear this. Office politics is often played, even in the smallest of companies. And heck, elective politics can be played like a game, too. Even congregations can play games within themselves. Church history, and I say church with a capital C, is filled with divisions over ideals and doctrines. In recent years, Most mainline denominations have been dividing in the us versus them game of what kind of person can be ordained to service. People can be just as unfaithful, unrepentant, and defiant about godly things now as they were when Noah told his neighbors the flood was coming, or the Hebrew people built idols in the wilderness to worship, or even when Jesus said, "To what will I compare this generation?" We can be much more like the children of Adam than we are the children of God. Jesus himself was frustrated enough about the way people were playing around with one another's emotions and financial health that in verses 20 to 24, which we really didn't read today, he pretty much called out the cities of Tyre and Sidon and Chorazin and Bethsaida and Capernaum. Yeah, he was so upset. He told them they all would be thrown down to the place of the dead. That's not Jesus' usual style, is it? He's sounding a bit like his cousin, John, who harshly told anyone in his path to shape up and turn back to God or meet their doom on Judgment Day. John's approach to salvation was a little bit caustic. I do wonder what happened that caused Jesus to become so annoyed, and I wonder what changed that allowed him to make a U-turn back to a more merciful attitude. Oh, yeah. Jonathan read it. Verse 12 of the story makes his anger clear. God's kingdom is being attacked by violent people. The widowed, the hurting, the weak, all are being pressed down to oblivion. And most of the world closed their eyes to such tragedy. John's judgment, his harsh judgment, was well deserved. But picking up in verse 20, Jesus' very next words praise God the Father for making sure only babies could grasp the meaning of the miracles Jesus has done for and with the people. What a surprise. It seems he is saying that God extends grace to the innocent, the childlike, the humble, the vulnerable. And meanwhile, those who claim wisdom and intelligence for themselves, those who are haughty and overlook the other people at the margins of the society, you know, the poor, the disabled, the disenfranchised, well, meanwhile, they will be blinded to what God is doing in the world, for they have turned away from God's way. Even when we look around today, we see people who represent both the little ones and the others. And yet, in this moment of anger, Jesus invites those who have ears to hear to respond to God's faithfulness, to God's presence and power. Jesus invites them to form a circle with one another, in essence, and with God, and dance. Dance to the parable's flute. He invites them to see, to really see one another. Poets and artists, strangers and family, builders and bankers. And he invites them to see in each other what the world does not see, and to help one another overcome their arrogance and their entitlement, to challenge the ideals over which they divide and to create with him God's kingdom on earth. This is work Jesus' followers are called to do. We are to be kingdom builders, to draw people together in love. And it's good work. Humbly acknowledging the worth of another human being can bring joy to both the other and to yourself. It means, though, that we need to let go of our errors and allow our inner selves, our real selves, to show. In so doing, we are preparing to honestly and compassionately feed the hungry, visit the prisoner, stand with the oppressed, even comfort the dying, no matter who they are, no matter what continent they come from or which side of town they live on. If we are able to come to a place in our hearts where we can act with such humility, we are doing the work God has invited us to take up. Not only that, but perhaps, just perhaps, when we have dropped our defenses, we can tenderly help others let go of their own so that they too can serve God with love. Now, please don't be fooled. Removing your mask, your blinders, your barricade, so that you may truly see and be seen by others is a scary, difficult, heavy thing to do. But only by repenting and returning to God's side in gentle vulnerability will you ever be able to recognize the God whom Jesus the Son reveals. This was supposed to be about 4th of July and children's games, holiday picnics, and well, hasn't turned out that way. There is good news for us, though. Jesus asks us to share his yoke and learn from him. He offers to redeem us, to give us rest. The kind of rest only those who have faith in him may experience. So by sharing his yoke, our burdens become lighter, our work less cumbersome. We'll see a speck of light at the end of the tunnel where God's kingdom is breaking through. And unlike John's harsh demands, Jesus softly beckons to us to labor on God's behalf. He knows we have been judged deficient, but nonetheless, he offers us grace. He engages us. He is present to us. He even shares a meal with us. And this is no game that he's playing with us. His care for each of us is real. His words are true. He is God with us. Friends, throughout our lives, we've all played many, many games. Some were like hopscotch or basketball. Others have been less than enjoyable. And some have been downright harmful to others. These games make us tired, and like children, we whine. that on behalf of the Father of all life, Jesus, our brother, Jesus calls us home. He calls us to merciful rest, to rest. Thanks be to God. Amen. Will you stand as you are able and recite with me the words of our faith, the words of the Apostles' Creed? I believe in God the Father Almighty, from thence, and Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. I am conceived by the Holy Ghost, the born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He lives on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection.
Please join me in the prayer of dedication. Having heard God's word and professed our faith, we are now charged with responding through our faith and trust in God, who offered his only Son for our salvation. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, ponder now how you shall give back to God in true and proper worship. Please take a moment to seek God's guidance and how to offer yourself, your possessions, and your service. Let us pray. We thank you, God, that you bless us with gifts of time, talent, and fruits of our labor for the flourishing of your world. May this offering of our life and labor reveal your love as we seek to share your promised reign with all creation. Amen.
Friends, in today's communion, we will allot a few moments for you to break the seal of the juice and take the juice and the wafer simultaneously. We're not going to do each one individually, but together. If you would rather not lift your mask to do that and would rather take it outside after worship, that is certainly acceptable. Also, when you are done with the service, please take the leftover cup and drop it in the trash can, thereby where we recycle our bulletins, okay? With that in mind, let us come into an attitude of prayer. My friends, this is the joyful feast of unity. Christ has gathered his people near and far. Those seeking and all who have sought are welcome to commune at this table. Across political opinions and economic status, in places of powerfully protected affluence and among the poorest of the poor, we share a meal, remembering and celebrating the one who provided shalom, peace, wholeness. And so come, you from the east and you from the west, from the north and the south, come. Come with your doubts, with your hopes, with your inadequacies, and with your strengths. Come, for this is a table where all are invited and all are welcome. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is truly right to give our thanks and praise, my friends. We give it to God, our Creator, the lover of the universe. O God, you created all that was. You nurture all that is. You imagine all that will be. You are the pattern of community. Three in one, God of mercy. From the beginning of time, you created for us a relationship with one. One holy, unified God of all the universe. When we rejected your call to community, choosing rebellion over partnership and brokenness over healing, you called us back again and again with words of grace and the promise of new life. Remembering that we are not alone at this table, we join as one brother and sisterhood, as your sons and daughters. We give you thanks for Jesus Christ, our host and our guest at this table. Through his birth, you took on flesh, affirming the goodness of our bodies and our world. Through his life, you took on suffering, sharing the truth of hope in desperation. Through his death, You took on death, revealing the depth of your love for us. Through his resurrection, you brought new creation, embodying the promise of life everlasting. Pour out your Holy Spirit upon us, O God, and upon these gifts of fruit and grain, that we may taste your goodness, see your presence, and become one with you in heart, mind, and spirit. Gathered at your table, we join as one with those of our past, the present, and the future, giving thanks to you. O merciful God, while gathered as one family near and far, we come to you seeking guidance and prayer. We ask that it be the work of the Holy Spirit to inspire us, to teach and lead us in ministering to all who seek shelter in your arms. O Lord, this day we come offering our joys and our concerns, both spoken and buried deep within our hearts, for your people. Hear us now, O Lord. We pray for those who travel to visit loved ones this holiday. May their journeys be both safe and free of illness. We lift up to you, O Lord, those who are struggling with depression or anxiety or anger, as well as those who wrestle with life-changing decisions, especially those who are facing how best to love family members with dementia. Guide them with love, O Lord. We pray for those who have been undergoing medical tests. We pray especially for John Meyer and for Merle Taylor. We also pray for Martha Perkey, who faces heart surgeries this week. Give all of your children courage and heal their bodies well, that they might return to more normal lives quickly. We lift up to you families, especially the family of Gracie Elizabeth Brown, who has joined her brother Gabriel to bring joy and laughter to her parents and her grand family, the Sidwells. O God, we also pray for our country. We have, over the years, struggled off and on and again to find ways to be a people nurtured in your love, in your honor, in your freedom. For you, O Lord, have given us the most amazing freedom of all, the freedom to be your children through faith in Christ, your Son. O Lord, we have been through a great deal recently as your people. We are arguing amongst ourselves. We are fearful. We whine. Our leaders give us varying types of advice. We know not how best to respond. O Lord, help us to find our being in your Son, Jesus. Help us to help others find a way to walk a common road together, that we might all benefit from your love and your grace. Help us to be leaders towards the peace and fulfillment that you alone offer. O Lord, help us to be one nation under God. O Holy Spirit, Divine Advocate, we ask that you guide and encourage us, stir within our hearts, that we may speak anew the familiar words that Jesus taught us. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. This day, O Lord, we come to this table for the first time in several months, and yet we still remember that according to Luke, on the night when he was arrested, our Lord took bread, and after he had given thanks for it, he broke it. And he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which has been broken for you. Take, eat, and do so in remembrance of me." And in the same way, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant, sealed in my blood, shed for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you eat of this bread and drink of this cup, you do so proclaiming the life, the death, and the resurrection of the Lord until he comes again. Let us now share in the meal that Christ himself gave us." And now, will you please join with me in the prayer after our communion? O Lord, may these gifts of grain and vine nourish our mind, heart, and soul, so that we may do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly, offering peace and comfort confidently in the love of Christ our Lord. Amen. Friends, throughout our lives, we have played games. Some make us happy. Others have hurt us or have hurt others. We are called by John the Baptist to make that U-turn, repent, and return to God's side. And we are called by Jesus to learn from him, to serve him, and to find rest in him. For after the games we have been playing, we are tired. And he will give us rest so that we may go out to serve him each and every day for the rest of our lives. So go out into the world in peace. And go knowing that the love of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the community that is the Holy Spirit that draws us together in a circle of love and hope and joy go with you always. Amen.